Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Sort of have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe we even have an intimate relationship with Jesus, but we know something is missing. And then we have an encounter where we step in to the courts of God. Not necessarily into building, but we step in community. We step into being part of church, and our relationship with Him changes. There's a flourishing that begins to happen. And Scripture says that's exactly what can and should happen. We should be planted in the house of God, and where we flourish is in His courts. And so we took some time, and over the years, we've had a couple of planted conferences. I don't think we've had one since COVID. It's been a long time since our last one. But the heart is to come together and celebrate church. I love church. Could spend all day talking about church. I'm not going to today. But I do want to take a moment and just talk about, for us as a church and those who are visiting, I'm sure you can tap onto pretty much everything I'm saying and contextualize it to where you are. A few months ago as a church, I felt God saying to us, revival is at the door. Last night, I love what Andre shared. Revival starts in here. It starts with me. It starts with me being revived in Christ. I love His invitation yesterday to step in to revival. But I felt God saying revival is at the door of us as a church, and kind of the inference that I in the message that I felt God was saying, will we let it in? Revival is at the door. Will we let it in? Are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable, stretch ourselves, go beyond to let others in? To let revival in, to let change and transformation in. Psalm chapter 84. We sang this morning. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I wonder in your life, here's a great question for us to ask. What is the thing that you, if you could be anything, what would you be? For David, if I could be anything, I would be a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper is the guy who stands outside at the door. He's not even the guy in the front leading worship. David did that as well. We'll look at some of those psalms a little bit later. But if revival is at the door, we need some doorkeepers to open the door. If revival is at the door, then doorkeepers need to say, hey, I'm going to throw this door way open so revival can enter in. This morning, as we think about church, and we're talking this morning to church people, we're talking to people who are part of our church families. We're not talking to people outside. It's a slightly different conversation that we have then. But we're talking to us as leaders. And this morning, for those who are in Shofar Pretoria, very definitely, and I think this translates to wherever you would find your house, I want to extend a new invitation to you. Would you be a doorkeeper in the house of God? Would you be a doorkeeper to open the door so somebody else can step into God's presence? Would you be a doorkeeper to open the door so someone else can experience transformation? Would you be a doorkeeper to open the door so someone else can receive healing? Would you be a doorkeeper so someone else can enter into glory? Would you be a doorkeeper for someone's salvation? Church is so much more than Sundays. I think we all kind of in church world, we know that. It is a lot more than Sundays. But what we cannot get away from is Sunday is our flagship. Sunday is the moment where everything else comes together. And so for this morning, we're going to take some time thinking about the Sunday. The Sunday is not necessarily more important, but it is more visible than every other part of church. And you can imagine, you know, when you were looking for a church way back, maybe you kind of weren't really looking for a church. The Holy Spirit worked in your life. You had an encounter someone invited you to church and you've never questioned church. You got saved in a church and you've just been in a church since then. Or a bunch of us probably here like that. But some of us stepped into church already following Jesus, looking for a church, maybe moved to a new environment, a new town, and we're making it really easy for you. We're just planting everywhere. So you didn't have to pray where you need to go to church. Just say, where is the nearest shofar? Because that is my church. But we go to church, and one of the first things we are going to ask ourselves is, what is the Sunday experience like? That is going to be a key question for all of us. Whether we love the small group, the Bible school, everything else that we do, the fellowship, we are going to come at some stage confronted in our heart with, how do I experience the Sunday? And so in that sense, the Sunday is our flagship. Similarly, so in Pretoria, for those of you who are visiting for the last few months, we've been over and over, I've been saying this refrain, and hopefully someone is starting to get irritated, because if you're irritated enough, you'll start doing, and when you start doing, I'll stop saying. But we're trusting God to reach everyone, everywhere. Everyone. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Everywhere. God commanded us to go and preach everywhere. And so one of the questions that sort of, as I'm thinking through it, is, we're going out as a church. Imagine, we go out, every person who attends on Sunday invites someone. So we have 300 people in church tomorrow. The 150 people that we're inviting to join us tomorrow, what are we inviting them to? And I think it is time and good for us sometimes to stop and talk about, what are we inviting them to? What is this thing that we are doing when I'm inviting my friend to come to church tomorrow? What is it that I'm inviting them to? And are we growing in that which we are inviting them to? So for this morning, I'm going to just share a few thoughts just around culture that I would love for us to incorporate into our Sundays. Then Andre is going to share some of his experiences, stir some faith about how God has worked in them in East London, drop some ideas, drop some cool stories of how God has just allowed them to grow. And then we're going to break into our different teams and we're going to say, okay, so what is God stirring in our hearts for us to grow in? How are we as a church going to step up? A great question that I always wrestle with. Here's a great, beautiful example. Every one of us, so we've got our Everyone Everywhere cards. Those are in different congregations. They might have different format. But the prayer, the card that we have, the names of the people we're praying for on. I hope everyone in our life, you've got a card like that. You've written down somewhere, God, these are the people that I'm praying for. And then I'm praying for them. And we put that card somewhere. We see it often. We see it regularly. We stop and we take a moment and we pray for people. And so the guy at the top of your list, you've been praying for him or her for years, for 15 years. You've been praying for them. You've been trusting for them to have an encounter with Jesus. They've gotten close a couple of times, but every time, just as they're about to say yes, they're going to come to church, whatever it may be, something happens. You're journeying with them. You're praying with them. You're trusting God for their salvation, for a change, for a transformation in their life. Tonight, they WhatsApp you. They say, I'm coming with you to church tomorrow. And there are a great few questions for me that run out of that situation. What stirs in your heart? Are we excited? Yes, I cannot wait. I'm so glad they're coming, but I'm a little bit nervous because I'm not sure if we're going to greet them properly. Oh, I wonder who's leading worship tomorrow. Who's going to be preaching? Hey, I need to WhatsApp some people. We need to make a little bit of extra effort because my person is going to be at church tomorrow. And I want them to have the best possible experience of who we are as a church. I want to give them the best possible chance to, first and foremost, connect with Jesus, but also just to say, hey, that was a great experience. I want to go back to church. And my hope is, my prayer and my expectation is that every Sunday is someone's Sunday. Maybe tomorrow it's John's guy's Sunday. And next week is Mark's guy's Sunday. And the week after is James' guy's Sunday. And the week after is Anarin's guy's Sunday. Are we as a church, are we saying somebody here is coming? somebody who has been prayed for, someone we're expectant for. We want to make this as special as we possibly can because there's somebody coming today. Somebody's, in a sense, one chance is today. And that puts a bit of a load on us, but we bring that load to Jesus in prayer. But I think it brings an urgency and a weight of what we're not just doing something. Can I just put that out for you? I hope most of us know this. I know you're here on a Saturday morning because you realize this in your spirit. We're not just doing something that's a cool idea when we gather together. We're actually gathering because there is a purpose. We are gathering because God wants to transform. I love what Andre shared yesterday about seeing the unseen. A great question I want to ask you in your church, in your ministry area. What are those things, the unseen things that you see? When you drive into church, what are the unseen things that you are seeing? What are the things that we are dreaming about as a church? I just know on my inside, God wants us, Shofar Pretoria specifically, once again, this translates most likely to wherever you're from. God wants us to be not a church with just a building half full on a Sunday, from time to time doing something cool. God wants us, I know God wants us to be a church that transforms the city, where the city looks different because God has placed us here. It's not a sole mandate. We are not the only people that God wants to use to transform the city, but God also wants to use us to transform the city. I know that God wants this house to be a house filled with joy, with praise, where people come week on week. And I love the fact that we've got a big altar and we're going to have to figure out at some stage how we put in more chairs, but also keep, because like last night, I love the fact that we've got plenty of space for people to come to respond so we can pray for them. I know that God wants this space in front here to be a space where people come to salvation and surrender in Christ, where the space becomes too small because there are too many people who are experiencing Jesus and being discipled. I wonder what the things in our spirits are that we see God doing in the city through us. And I hope that we're not just saying, I'm just comfortable being in a nice, cozy little church for the rest of my life. I hope maybe that something last night, something today, shifts and stirs that in your heart. I don't want to be in a comfortable, cozy church for the rest of my life. I want to be in a church that transforms cities, where lives are changed, where families are renewed, where hope is imparted, where Jesus is glorified. I believe that's what God wants for our churches. There are too many people in the city. So I know Pretoria. I don't know your environment, your city. If you don't know this, you need to go and figure this out. I know Pretoria is about 3 million people. I know right now, tomorrow in church, maybe across this month, because you know how it works. We think if we go to church once a month, we're doing well. Right? Twice a month, Jesus is really with us. You know, 3 times a month, we should actually be the pastor by now. Okay. In our city, there are a lot more people that need to come to Christ than are already following Christ. As a city, Pretoria, the Bible Belt in South Africa, I don't even think we are tithing. In other words, I do not think tomorrow across the city, 10% of the city are going to be in life-giving, changing, spirit-changing, city-transformational environments where they're experiencing Jesus. I would be surprised if we're at 10%. I don't know your environment, your city, but you can probably do something similar for that city. And I believe God wants to change that. God wants His church in His city, in your city, to be a church that changes and a church that transforms. So 3 things that I want us to think about, pray about in a few moments after Andre shared. We're going to get together in groups and we're going to talk through this. I know many of our teams, many of our leaders aren't here. So what I also need from you guys to do is you need to be agents carrying this message. We need to go and draw others into the conversation who aren't here today. 3 specific areas that I really believe God wants us to focus on. These aren't the only 3. I just think these are the 3 for now that God wants us to focus on. The first one is from 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. When I first came to church, when I was asked to lead this congregation, this verse is the first verse God gave me. It's Hezekiah, and there's this reform that's happening. There's revival in the city. Literally what's happened at this stage, the temple has become a storeroom. That's how far away from God they were. One of the first things that Hezekiah does is he says, can we just clean the storeroom and make it a temple again? He calls the priests. He says, come guys, you are meant to be doing a job. And watch what he says. He says, my sons, do not neglect your duties any longer. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, and to lead the people in worship and present offerings to him. If you've been in Pretoria with us for a while, I would have preached at this, on this, around this, touched on this at some stage. There's so much on this. I believe part of the mandate that God has for us as a city is around this. The part I want us to highlight here is do not neglect your duties any longer. I think it speaks about an intentionality. An intentionality in our ministry. An intentionality in, for example, focusing on Sunday today. What does intentionality mean? Intentionality means I'm doing this deliberately. I'm not just doing this by accident. I'm not playing drums in the band because my name happens to be on the list. I'm not welcoming people at the door because I didn't have anything else to do. No, I'm doing this as a doorkeeper for someone to encounter Christ. I'm arriving not it kind of the latest I possibly can. I'm coming in good time. In this week, I was going to make coffee. I'm on the team to make coffee. I'm on the catering team. In this week, I was praying. I was praying that as I make coffee, as I share coffee, as we create a space there, that I'd be opening a door for somebody to experience grace. I'm intentional about what I'm doing. I'm not just, oh, my name happens to be on the list and Darlington sent me a WhatsApp, so I guess I need to be there. All of us, I genuinely believe God's called us to do many things in our lives. During the week at work, you're doing something that God's called you to do. At home, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, God's called you to do something. Those are all important things. I'm not diminishing any of those. Along with those important things God's called us to do, maybe, just maybe, me standing at the parking lot and helping people find parking is the most important thing I'm going to do this week. I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm arriving prayed up, ready. I want to kind of just extend this out again. Our marketing material for Pretoria is wrong. I'm not quite sure how kind of we need to get this bit right. But what time does church start? Birgit's got the right answer. Our morning service here in Pretoria, what time does it start? You think you guys know this answer by now. In Pretoria, what time does our evening service start? 6 o'clock. At 9:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock. No, it doesn't. That's when the visitors arrive. Our service, imagine we made this shift in our heart and we say, you know when church starts? Church starts at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is when we gather together to pray and we prepare the space. And maybe I'm on service team, so I'm there even earlier. And we do everything so the guests can arrive at the time we put on our website. But so church doesn't start when the service time starts. Church doesn't start when the countdown hits naught and Megan starts leading worship or whoever's on duty. That's not when church starts for me. Church starts at least half an hour before that. If I'm not even on duty, do you know what at least I'm going to do? I'm going to come and pray. Because today is someone's day. Someone has been praying for 20 years for their friend and they're coming today and I want to pray with them. And so we come with an intentionality in our spirits. We are deliberate. We are not just kind of floating in and floating out of church. I'm here on purpose and I'm here with purpose. Imagine if we all arrive, just us. Forget about the others who are also joining us. Imagine if just a group of us here arrive tomorrow when we have church. Andre's preaching, going to be a great service. You're bringing your friend. But we arrive on purpose and with purpose. In other words, by the time I've parked my car and I step out of the parking lot, I'm already switched on. I'm already awake. I never played a day of rugby in my life. My mom banned me from that. But I watched our rugby guys at school. Any rugby players here? Right. Used to, but he played at school. Little Ethan is still playing, and then he decides he's going to bunk cell, and then he goes and plays the rugby game and can't happen, and then he has to go back to cell again. Beautiful stories. God calls us to his house. But you know, before the rugby team runs onto the sports field, you have to be switched on before that. So I remember at school, I don't know if guys still did it, I'm very old school. The guys would bang their heads against the walls in the change rooms. Mark, did you ever do that? You're not that stupid. Okay. But you would go through rituals and exercises. I played a whole bunch of other sports to get yourself switched on so that when the whistle for the start of the game happens, I'm already awake. I've gone through my warm-up. I've prepared. I've done my stretches. When the whistle goes, I'm good to go 100% from the start. Imagine if we arrived at church like that. By the time I get out of the car, I'm already switched on. You know, I love being in church. I love worshiping, and I'm going to be part of worship. And whoever's leading worship, I know it's going to be fantastic. But you know what? I've already worshiped in the car on the way here. So if something happens, I need to be outside, I need to be serving during the worship team, worship time, hey, I'm going to miss out, but I'm going to be okay because I've already worshiped. I've already taken care of my own soul. I've spent time with God's presence, and I've stepped out of church, and I'm here with purpose and on purpose. I'm not here accidentally. I'm here with a plan. I'm here to contribute. I'm here to bring. I'm here filled with faith. I'm bringing faith. I'm bringing hope. I'm bringing expectation that God is going to move. When worship starts, I'm not waiting to warm up to worship. I'm in the front already, hands raised. Worship leader's delight. Setting the tone in the room for worship, not waking up somewhere through worship. Because you know that visitor, that friend is walking in, they're either walking into a room filled with faith, an atmosphere that's already being changed, or they're walking into a place where we're half asleep. Let us be awake already so that when the friend walks in, they're like, whoa, there is something different about this room. There is faith in this room because the people in the room are creating an atmosphere of faith. We're here on purpose. We're here with purpose. The second thing I want us to mention, first one is intentionality. We are deliberate about coming to church. Can I just also say, because I want to just break some lies, two things that I want to say, because there's a grace element and a truth element. The grace element is I totally get we all have lives, we all can't be in church every Sunday. I totally get that. My mom had a birthday party. Some people can't be here this weekend. Some of our leaders, their mom is having a birthday party in Potchefstroom. I love that. Be there, be with your family. We get that. The other part of it, truth, is we want to be here every Sunday. I started coming to church. Andre will remember, he was part of that. As students, you want to guess how many times we would go to church on a Sunday? Twice on a lazy Sunday. Three times on a normal Sunday. We'd do one morning service in the Sanlam Sol, two evening services, and I'd normally be serving at all three of them. Praying beforehand, setting up the computer. Back then, we had little projectors that you put on a table and someone bumps it and you push buttons and you plug in a laptop and you hope the power works. And we'd pack chairs. We were still back then chair packing. So you'd arrive 2 hours before the service because you've got to pack chairs. Not 50 chairs either. We'd be there. We switched on. We'd pray. No one ever told me, Philip, you have to be at three services every Sunday. I wanted to be at three services every Sunday because the glory of God was at three services every Sunday. And yes, sometimes I can't be there, but I would love to be. Even if I can't be there, I still actually want to be there. So I want to hold before us, maybe just some of us need to reevaluate. Are we intentional? Do we come to church as a side issue? It's a side hustle thing that we also do, or are we? God is building something to transform and change the city, and I'm part of it. Because can I maybe just put another truth moment out there? God is not going to build something that changes and transforms the city through us if we're being lazy. It's going to take some dedication. Andre spoke about fasting and praying and sacrifice and giving up. That is part of the beauty of the church experience. Better is one day in your courts. Do we really believe that? Or do we say better is one day in your courts unless the Springboks are playing? Better is one day in your courts unless I had a late night on Saturday night. Better is one day in your courts unless. Oh God, better is one day in your courts. My week, my life revolves around this moment in your presence. So the second one, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Paul is obviously writing to Timothy in a ministry context. He's a ministry leader and he says to him, do your best. In Timothy's context, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, one who God can receive. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, in his case, rightly handling, rightly dealing with God's word. I think the second element, the first one is intentionality that I want us to think about, talk about, pray about in our teams. The second one is excellence. Can I just say, excellence is not perfection. Excellence doesn't mean I'm getting it right 100% of the time. Excellence, to my mind at least, I'm simply asking that I do my best. Was that my best? Can I stand before a holy, righteous, loving God and say, Jesus, today I brought my best? Maybe other people thought it sucked, but hey, it was the best that I could do. Given my constraints, my environment, my resources, my abilities, this was my best. Jesus, when I come to worship, and I hope that we all see this as well, when we come to serve at church, I hope we realize that is worship. We're not just doing something because Philip needs somebody to stand at the door. If we're doing that, then please don't do it. I'm doing this because it is a holy thing I'm doing. I'm bringing worship to Jesus. I want to bring the best worship I can. I want to be excellent. I want to be, once again, what does excellence look like? Well, tomorrow morning, your guy, top of your everyone, everywhere list is coming with you to church. So maybe tomorrow you're not here at 9 o'clock to pray. You're coming just before half past 9 because you're going, you're picking up the guy, you're bringing him here. What is it that you want to see when you drive in the door? When you walk in the gate, what are you hoping somebody is going to do? That's the excellence we're talking about. Are you walking in thinking, man, I just hope the worship leader has just checked in with the guy. Do we just have the right songs loaded? The right words. I hope we're going to be singing the same words that are on the screen. Did someone just at least take a moment? Because a lot of excellence is in detail. So, in sport, for those of you who've done some competitive sport, there are a number of different skills. There are some skills, the talent skills, the skills that only a few people can do. You need to practice, you need to work at this, you need to be good at this. The skills that set the best apart from the rest. And then there are other skills, the talentless skills. The skills that absolutely everyone can do. So often, the difference between excellence and just being average is the talentless skill. It's a talentless skill, and our band, I hope normally, is pretty good at this. It's a talentless skill to when you are done or at some stage in the worship practice, at the end of the worship practice, to walk to the back and just go through the list, have we got the right songs loaded? It takes zero talent to do that. It takes zero talent to be on time. It takes zero talent sometimes just to do the basics well. You know, we've seen that time of us, you watched a rugby game or a sports, and the guy does the most obvious thing wrong, and the whole nation groans. And you say to yourself, I could have done that. And probably you could have. There's a whole bunch of other things. I could have caught that ball. It was a talentless thing. And sometimes it's just a discipline of just doing the basics well, the basics right. It's a talentless thing to practice. It's a talentless thing to be prepared. Everybody can do that. You don't need talent to be able to prepare for your ministry area. Sometimes it's just that little bit of extra effort. Just those few moments stepping back and asking, if my guy was coming today, what would I want to be done? Let me do that. Let me just do that little bit extra, maybe extra work, but it's not talent, it's not skill, it's not something that I'm limited and constrained to do. So we're not looking for perfection. We're just saying, God, I want to do my best. And then the last one, fun. I think fun should be a central element of ministry. Psalm 122, David, he's writing, he says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. David was excited. David enjoyed being in God's house. There was a fun element for David to go to God's house. He was like, yes, come on, let's go. We're going to have the time of our life in God's presence. It's going to be fun. Yes, there's a joy element, all of that, but that joy needs to find expression in the moment as well. Two elements, two parts to this fun. On the one side, fun, is it fun for you to serve? Sometimes we need to just be creative to make putting coffee in the coffee machine fun. But hey, I can make fun out of this. I can find a way, and we're all different around it. What is going to make it fun for me to be part of this team? What's it going to make fun? What's it going to be for us to all in this team together to have fun? And an outflow of that, how is what we are doing here making it fun for people to come to church? Seriously, who wants to go to a church where there's no fun? You arrive in the parking lot and everyone's got these heavy, somber faces, and it's just this weighty, serious moment from the start to the finish. Or hey, we arrive, we get out the car door, and there are people smiling. It looks like they actually want to be here. Some of us, we need to do that in the mornings. We need to remind our faces that we're happy. Our heart is overjoyed and our face is like, looks like someone fed us prune juice for breakfast. We need, for me, that's part of intentionality. I'm going to intentionally smile today. I'm going to intentionally show the people around me that I'm glad to be here. And I know my face doesn't always say it, so I need to remind my face to smile. I'm going to be intentional about bringing joy to this environment. Psalm 42, I love this. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I hope and pray for us that it's not about how it used to be, but how it's going to be. This is how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Imagine if that was a description of our Sundays. A great procession in the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks, and the sound of a great celebration. Imagine that was our Sundays. I'd want to bring my guy at the top of my list to this. I'm hoping tomorrow my guy finally said, yes, we're going. I'm hoping tomorrow he's going to experience a great celebration. So three things that I want us just to think about in our groups in a moment. What does intentionality look like for me and then for us as a team? What are the things we need to be more intentional about? How do we step up excellence? What is the next thing of excellence for us in our team? What do I need to do? How do I need to prepare better? What do I need to do? Maybe just take 10 minutes in the week. I have this fight with musicians all the time. I hate music stands. People want to disagree with me. I say, find me a YouTube video of any worship moment that's really happening and count the worship stands on stage. They're minimal. I get nowadays we need to carry like iPads and stuff on there, and but grace with musicians. You know, one of the reasons why I hate worship, I hate just, I think ministry wise that sometimes they're obstructive because we're standing there like this, and are we leading worship expecting people to engage when we could be doing this? The band, our band know this all, so kind of not telling them anything new. We want to be looking at people, engaging with people. And how hard is it to learn the words of three or four songs? especially now because we put them on the back monitor for you as well. So now, you know. But for me, that one of the reasons is, and I get with musicians and chords and stuff, whatever, there's a little bit more grace, that I'm just, you can get rid of the music stand by just taking 10 minutes in a week to learn the song. Just put it on your YouTube playlist in the car this week and just learn the words. It's not hard to learn the words. Just that little bit of excellence, and it just lifts up. We're just better when we pay attention to some details. Intentionality, excellence, fun. Church should be fun. Yes, it's reverent. Yes, Jesus is holy. Yes, there are moments when we are flat on our face. But it should be within a fun environment. Hey, I want to be there. It is cool being there. Cool people are there and they do cool things. It's fun being there. I don't want to be late for church because I'm going to miss out on the fun. I don't want to leave early because I'm going to miss out on the fun. Imagine if that was the culture that we create in our church environment. Can I pray for us? We're going to take a short break, grab some coffee, tea, have a bathroom break if you need to, and then Andre is going to share with us in about 25 minutes or so. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you this morning for the gift of church, Lord. Specifically, Lord, for the gift of the gathering. We know your instruction is we should not neglect the gathering of the saints as some do. But every time we come together, we should encourage one another towards love and towards good works. And I pray that every time we gather, it would be a place of encouragement, Jesus. Lord, I pray for us in our teams. I pray for us in our churches, Lord. I pray that we would grow. I pray that we would grow in our intentionality and in our excellence and in our fun. I pray that we would grow in our ability to represent you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that we would be just as a church and churches, Lord, in every area, just every time we bring someone, we would be just so filled with faith that they're going to have the best possible experience. Because I know the people who are part of this, and I know they've been praying. I know they're excellent. I know they've practiced. I know they've prepared. So I'm bringing people who I trust and who I love, and I bring them with faith, Lord. Bringing them to a faith environment. I know we're going to walk in and the worship is going to be filled with faith, Lord. I know when altar calls being made, Lord, people are going to be praying and interceding and trusting for a change. Because we believe in the power of the blood of Jesus to change lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you would just allow us, just on our Sundays, just to step up to create a space where people love to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We can take a break. We're going to have a countdown timer on screen, and we're going to be starting again in just over 20 minutes.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.